Welcome to the latest ATP podcast. I'm Seb Lozier, and this week, with the Davis Cup Finals wowing big crowds in Malaga, Spain, we hear from some of the players and coaches involved. In a little while, we will hear from Francis Tiafoe, Pablo Carreño Busta, and Alex de Minaur. We sit down with the Italian Federation's head of over-18s, Umberto Rijana, and Croatia's Davis Cup captain, Vedran Martic. But first, we draw a neat line under the season-ending Nitto ATP Finals in Turin, where Novak Djokovic swept all before him to win the title for a record-equaling sixth time. And afterwards, Cedric Rouquet from Tennis Majors spoke with his very happy and proud coach, Goran Ivanišević.
Because of everything what happened this year, okay, with Wimbledon this year, but this one is special. The very tough year, and then to finish the year like this and to win a tournament like this after 7 years, it's you know, I think somebody from upstairs look at all this year and say, okay, you're going to finish the year like this, and he deserved it. It's really, nobody knows how was it to be him, to be the part of the team. Was not easy year, but was even worse for him, and he deserved it.
Novak is 35, an age which in the past most of the players were retired, and you were retired at 35, for instance. What does that change in his training program, in his recovery program, the fact that he's 35? He's more or less peaking, being 34, 35, but I guess you don't drive the training session just like if he was 22, for instance. What does that change?
He's practicing even harder than he was 22. That's why he's still so good, and that's why he's still going to be even better. You know, the will to practice, the will to improve, the will to be better is amazing. You know, he's taking care of his body. And, you know, in my time, we stopped tennis with 30, 31. You were already old guy, you know, ready to leave. But now, you know, unbelievable. Look at Roger a couple years back. Look at Rafa. Look at him. They all talk about, yes, young players are coming. It's great for the tennis. Few of them, we have youngest number one in the world who made unbelievable things this year, Carlos. But, you know, look at Novak. He's still hungry. He's still winning the tournament. He's still playing unbelievable tennis. And he's still already thinking now about preparation for next season. So, and everything is okay. Now they take more care of the body. The teams are bigger. Before, you were traveling with a coach. Now you have a lot of people in the team. You have a lot of possibilities to take care of your body. And the materials of the rackets, unbelievable strings. Everything is, yes, they slow down the courts, so they have to be, they train different. Matches last longer. But I mean, for example, Novak is a genius in that. He's a guy who wants to improve all the time, who is taking care of, look at his body, look at his how he moves on the court, slides. He's amazing. So it's always something that now the world offers you to, you know, to be better, to improve. And I think in that case, players are playing in the much older age, and they're playing well. Maybe some of them, they're playing best tennis, and they're feeling, you know, they're looking unbelievable. So it's just the matter of everything change generally in sport, and it gives you more opportunity to recover, to take care of your body. We didn't do that too much in our time. If I can go back in my time, I will do it a lot of things differently, but you know, now I can watch him and just be impressed every day when we come to the practice, every day when it's a match, to be impressed what he does on the court. Not only him, other players that I admire to watch. They are amazing, you know, athletes and tennis players.
Goran Ivanišević speaking there about the Nitto ATP Finals champion Novak Djokovic, and as ever, playing down his role in that success. But another Croat, Goran's former coach Vedran Martic, was only too happy to sing his praises and talk about his current player, Karen Khachanov. Dil Kraber spoke with Vedran ahead of the Davis Cup Finals, and he started by explaining how the competition gives a different kind of opportunity for younger players.
Our first two players and and doubles players that they are playing ATP tournaments and Grand Slams, Cilic, Ćorić. But I think this can help a lot to Gojo, who is playing still challengers, and some other members. This year we took to the young boy Poljičak, who won Wimbledon Juniors. We took him with us. He practiced with the team and warm up the players, and so for him is for sure great experience. But too, I hope so that this all results and everything can help to Gojo, who did really great results in Davis Cup.
And for you as a coach, I mean, obviously players learn a lot from each other and from you, but for you as a coach, what do you learn now being in that position as Davis Cup captain that you can carry over to, say, your individual players like Khachanov?
Yeah, it's different because you sit on the bench, you can talk every changeover to your player, say, okay, many things are similar, you need to prepare a tactic for the matches to be ready for different opponents. Sometimes it's not so easy because, like captain, you need to be there 3 matches in a row. So, 2 singles, 1 double match are going straight with short break between. Yeah, but you can give some advices, and it's interesting.
You brought up an interesting thing about coaching, because now you can coach, right, from the side at these tournaments. Yeah. Is that something that you like, that you take advantage of?
It's okay if you need to say something to player. Is good that you have opportunity, but still, I believe a lot in concentration during the match. So for player, it's better to try to concentrate, not to look too much to the coach and expect some unbelievable advice that helps him. So still need to be concentrated. If coach has something to say, he will say. But I think it's very important that players still stay concentrated and not expect now too much from the coach.
Yeah. Do you like the rule, the change in the rule?
Yes, because many people they coached and I had some bad experience. I don't know what to say which name of the player.
But
really, through the match was coaching all the time. My player was watching to referee, to person who was coaching whole match, then is losing concentration because he's looking left right. So like this is much better because we know that some this type of coaching is allowed, and I think is better. So, and if you can help a little bit to your player, you can help with some advice, but I think is better.
And the main advice, it's not usually so much tactically, right? It's more about, would it be more about getting the player in the right mental space, or what exactly are the keys, do you feel like, for the coaching dynamic?
Okay, you can help with some technical advice or tactical advice. So always you can help a little bit, but for sure it's not easy because you cannot talk a lot. So, but
yeah,
some small advice you can give about serve, maybe some toss rhythm, so how is going, and this is now allowed, so some small things you can add through the match. So, and I think that is okay, because before people were doing but was not allowed, and for referee was difficult too to give warning, and then like this is much better. So,
and I always like asking the coaches about themselves, because it is a huge investment. You know, a lot of travel, a lot of time invested in somebody else. But you don't travel full time, right?
No. In 18, I was full time with Karen. And this year, I was on 3 Grand Slams. The Russian players couldn't play Wimbledon, but I was with Karen, Australia, Roland Garros, and US Open. And I traveled, quite a lot. But we are 2 coaches and we are changing all the time.
How is that? Because it's tough being away from home all the time. You have a family. Is that something that that you try and balance in your life? How are you able to balance that?
But now it's much better. Before, when I was coaching, Goran Ivanišević was all players. They had just 1 coach. So now this is a much better situation because most of the players, they have 2 coaches. It's for sure is for player, we need somehow to say same things, not confuse the players with two coaches. But before it was all time one coach, and with families for sure not so easy. But sometimes my wife, she comes to some tournaments. When I'm at home, I try to be as much as possible with my children. And that works like this.
And Goran's a lot, obviously you coach Goran, but he's a lot on the road as well. Do you guys chat a lot with each other?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We are friends from childhood. And then suddenly I became his coach. And I was with him 4.5 years. And we had a lot of success together.
Yeah.
And we are really really close friends, yeah.
What would you say you learned the most from coaching him in particular?
That was my first job. I would like to come back again, and now I'm 55. At that time, I was really young, so you always improve too, like coach too. And I think if I coach him now with this age, for sure we have more success than then. So okay, He was good at that time too. He was number two in the world and played final Wimbledon and so on.
Well, I can tell it looked like you had a lot of fun together.
Yeah, okay. We are really close with age, so I'm 4 years older, and we had fun and we practiced together and okay. We played 20 finals, won 10 ATP tournaments during the time I spent with him.
That's okay. Amazing.
Yeah, it was not so bad, but I think Goran is one of really huge talents, and maybe he could achieve more, so I don't know. But
In the semi-finals, Martic and Croatia faced Australia, and one informed player who bleeds green and gold for his country and would travel to the ends of the earth to play for them.
Hey guys, Alex here. Come check out what I travel with. Okay, perfect. Ready? So here we have a golf glove, and this one specifically is from Indian Wells. Obviously, I love my golf, and we do a lot of weeks where we try to get out there on the golf course whenever we can. It got to a point that every time we went to play golf, I was getting myself another new glove because obviously didn't travel with one. So I decided to just bring this one on tour with me, probably been with me for about 2-3 years.
How's your golf game?
What's my handicap? Look, I don't play way as much as I would like to, but I'm probably a comfortable 10 to 12. That's probably around my handicap.
Not bad.
I think that's pretty good. I don't know what Rafa and Casper's.
No, they're definitely a little bit higher. You know, I definitely need to get my rounds in. I've got to practice a little bit more if I want to get there. But no, it's just really enjoyable. Lots of fun. This hat. All right, so this is a special hat.
And we're here with the Aussie boys.
This is my Davis Cup hat with my Davis Cup number on the side here. Now, this is the same number that I've got tattooed on my chest, on my heart. So it is very important to me, very significant. I travel with this all the time. It comes wherever I go and, you know, always, you know, reminds me of the day I had my debut, which was one of the best days of my life. This is a hoodie. Well, it used to be black, but it's kind of been discolored for the amount of times I've used it. It's a ASICS Onitsuka hoodie, which you just need a hoodie to travel. It's just a need, especially airports, long flights. I just put the hood on and I can just fall asleep. I mean, this is one of the first ones I ever got, and it's still with me till this day, and it just kind of reminds me of, you know, my journey. This is a great traveling wallet. What it is, it's a card holder. You know, you get all your cards in and out, so you can just kind of go through any card you want. It looks quite cool, huh? Have not lost it ever, which is very good. I'm not normally that good, but yeah, this comes with me every day.
Let's not jinx yourself.
Though. I hope I did not just jinx myself. So we got my iPad. We do a lot of hours on planes, a lot of long trips, and you know, this is where I have stored all my Netflix kind of movies and TV shows. I mean, it's a great way to waste time on a plane. All right, so we got my headphones here. These are noise cancelling ones for the flight as well. You can get some good sleep with these, watch some Netflix. It's a must in the whole kind of traveling scene.
Are you a walk out before your match with headphones on type?
I actually am not. I don't listen to any music before my match. I kind of stay in my zone. I'm a very quiet person.
You obviously travel all over the world for tennis. What's one or two of the best places you've been?
Traveling back to Australia is always special. I mean, it's my home. I think it's one of the most beautiful places there is. You know, going back to Sydney, being able to see all the beaches, all the special places, the city, it brings back a lot of memories, and it's just a very enjoyable week to go, just go back home.
Your first ever ATP Tour title.
Well, thanks for stopping by and seeing what I travel with. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
You're listening to the ATP Tennis Radio Podcast.
It's no surprise that Italy made it through to the final stages of the Davis Cup. Over the past few years, the Italian Federation has invested time and effort in developing the country's tennis infrastructure, and the results are plain to see, with names like Berrettini, Sinner, Sonego, Musetti all making waves, and three homegrown players competing at this year's Next Gen ATP Finals in Milan. It's all happening under the guidance of Berrettini's coach of 7 years and a man who now looks after the fortunes of Italy's over-18s, Umberto Reanna.
It all started like a few years ago, about like 7-8 years ago. Finally, the federation, the board of the federation decided to invest on the kids even after, you know, the junior career, which was very important, a turning point for us. And then from that on, we have been working really hard to give all the private teams, you know, whatever they need to try to help the kids to get to the best level.
So is that something that's been the biggest difference, you think?
Exactly.
is continuing that investment?
You know, everybody's asking me, you know, what's the secret? What's the secret?
We want to know the secret.
Results, exactly. And then I got news, there are no secrets, unfortunately. And if I knew, I'm not sure I'd be allowed to tell. No, kidding aside, I think there are no reasons. I mean, no secrets, but there are reasons, and for sure. So if I go back, and I remember, you know, that time when the Federation tried to invest, and has been decided to invest on the over 18 programs. And finally, we understood that we had to give resources, Federation resources, to private teams, because they need it in order to be able to help the kids, you know, to grow and then to create a professional career. They need a lot of resources. And I'm not talking only about money. Organization, I'm talking about, you know, many other things. So
that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, besides financially, what other resources?
Well, I mean, like technical resources, like, you know, coaches to support them, physical trainers, mental coaches, which was I truly believe that's a big part. That's reasons why. No secrets, but reasons. So, you know, everything together has been working fine, I guess.
For someone that's been so involved for many years, that mental, as you mentioned, I want to pinpoint that a little bit. What exactly do you feel like is huge in the mentality for a player to have that success?
No, first of all, and now everybody understands that they need mental support.
Okay.
And that doesn't mean that you have like mental problems.
No.
Because there was a barrier. No, I mean, I'm like just kind of, we're laughing about it, but, you know, there was a big barrier that we had. You know, many of the kids and coaches, they were a little bit skeptical about it because they believe they didn't need it. Now we know that it's just we have like two kind of programs. There is one that belongs to the psychologists and one to mental coaches. So we have both, and together they have been doing a great job because it's not the same thing.
What is the difference?
Well, you know that. The mental coach takes care of the performance, you know, of the game, all everything that is tied to the performance. The psychology takes care of the person, you know, the person that needs to grow.
And for the sports psychologist in particular, what things do you feel like has been most impactful from the sports psychologist to the players?
You know, the difference is now they understand that besides being a tennis player, they're persons. And sometimes, you know, there was a confusion between being a person and being a tennis player. It's all together, but you don't have to. There is a difference, but you need to put them together. This is the biggest impact, I believe. And then the guys that have been in charge of the program have been doing a great job.
Are there specific things that you focus on for the person?
See, this is another thing. It's psychology and the mental coaches. They work with the coaches as well, not just with kids. Actually, primarily with coaches. Mm. Then through coaches with their players. So, you know, this is another thing that we had to overcome. There was a big barrier before. So now coaches, private coaches, understand and are aware that they, in order to have the kids to improve, we all need to improve. So that was important. And the psychologists and all the mental coaches have been helping us tremendously about it.
So I'm sure you're probably aware of the next question I'm going to ask, is what's been your personal experience with a mental coach that has helped you?
I'm the one to blame because I started it all. I'm sure that the guy saw that I had a lot of needs. No, actually, you know, honestly and sincerely, I have to say that I knew I needed help. So since I found that out, you know, I was not afraid to ask for help, and that was how it started.
But in
so
what in particular?
To have been dealing with all these things that the kids are involved, this is a long journey. It's a very tough one. I mean, we don't have to forget that the kids, they don't interact with their peers. I mean, they have a different kind of lifestyle, and this is not easy. So, and the coach can help a lot. That has been helping a lot, but cannot do itself. So himself, he needs help. So you know, this was the story.
There's a lot of things that need to go right to be a successful professional tennis player, besides financial resources, being healthy.
Right.
But you seem to have a very good group of players right now that really support each other. Right. How much work goes into that, and is anything done away from tennis?
You know, we have been lucky because I have to go back with when it all started, and it was Cecchinato, you know, with the semifinal at Roland Garros.
Right.
So now from that on, Matteo Berrettini told me that when he saw that, and he that was the first time he truly believed that everybody could do it. So from then watching Fabio winning in Monte Carlo and Matteo right away semifinal in New York. I mean, there was and one thing leads to another, and then Sinner, and then Sonego, and then now Musetti.
There's too many to name.
And so on. Not too many to name. It's, as you said, you know, it starts because everybody is pushing each other. They're pushing each other to get better. It's been the same in the States and then in Germany before, in Sweden, a little bit less now. But, you know, this is how it goes. I told you, there are no secrets. That's how it goes.
Well, it's interesting you say the belief that Matteo got after that semifinal run for Cecchinato. But belief doesn't happen instantly, right?
No, of course, it's got to be. I mean, there is work
behind
it.
So what happens in that moment where all of a sudden Berrettini is able to excel and
the
continue.
Experience, I mean, being part of the tour and then knowing that he was really part of it. I mean, he belonged there. So that was one of the start. And you see Cecchinato and starting from like almost like coming from almost nowhere and getting that kind of result, beating Novak and everybody. One thing leads to another because of Cecchinato and then Fognini and then Berrettini and then all of a sudden you have like people like now spectators are just really into it. I mean, we have to really be grateful to all these kids and the players that have been finally, you know, extracting all this energy from the crowd.
Do you guys do any mentorship between the players?
No, we don't do that necessarily, but we're trying to put them together as much as possible.
Yeah.
Pre-season now, I have already a request from younger players to be with Sonego, with Matteo, with Sinner. I mean, now, finally, you know, we understand how important that is.
Umberto Reana speaking there with Jill Krabus. The team Italy beat in the quarterfinals in Malaga was the USA, who included in their ranks Taylor Fritz, Tommy Paul, Jack Sock, and Francis Tiafoe, who has had a great 2022, and sat down with Jill Krabus to try and explain why.
I mean, obviously just believing in myself, but just taking care of the little details. just resting better. I mean, the things I do outside of the game, more preparation going into the game. I feel like that's kind of been the biggest thing, to play consistent tennis, right? Because it's so draining, right? Like, I mean, if you go and play a long match and then you want to hang out and, you know, maybe with the friends or, you know, cutting his distractions, I feel like that's kind of been the biggest thing, and my girlfriend's been a great help in that.
Yeah, it's we don't necessarily get to see the background or this all the hard work that's put in during the events. We just see the events. Can you talk a little bit about the grind that is required for a tennis player to be able to all of a sudden achieve those moments, and how much it means to you when you finally have those big moments?
Yeah, I don't think people really understand it. It's hectic. I think, especially my story, you know, I was grinding for so many years. You saw me when I was a little kid out in Boca back in the day, so when you were still playing, but it's crazy. And it's crazy to think, obviously everyone has those dreams of getting to this level and doing these things, but when it actually comes to fruition, it's quite wild. And I was getting to eight ball a lot, and you know, a lot of people, you know, would have laughed to even think I was going to get to where I'm getting now. So to be able to do these things, support my family, and play the game I love, because ultimately, you know, I really want to do well and stuff, but I feel like it's all the game. I feel like when I do well, it puts smiles on kids' faces. I think people really enjoy, you know, not only like, you know, my tennis, but, you know, my personality, that I'm having fun out there. And people, like, you know, end up, you know, adding it to their game and their life. And I think it inspires kids. You know, I had the, you know, wild story, so it inspires people to want to go and get up and do something special. So I feel like, you know, when I'm doing well, it's good for the game.
I think that's what makes you exceptional, is because you have that perspective already at such a young age. Yeah. And obviously you're saying you dedicate that a lot to your support team and your family and stuff like that. Talk about those experiences that you've had this year. You've had quite a few. Semifinals of the U.S. Open, that was a huge moment. Some emotions came out. Can you relive that a little bit for us?
Yeah, the Open was wild. I mean, you know, you never know when that moment's going to hit, right? That's what I always say, you know, you stay ready, because you never know when that moment's going to hit. And my opportunity, success is when, you know, opportunity meets preparation. And I was prepared and ready, but, man, so many different emotions. You know, you beat Rafa. He hasn't lost a match in the Slam all year. It was, I mean,
amazing. Yeah, congrats.
Yeah, I mean, I had a great tournament already, essentially, because I made the fourth round for the third straight year. So that was already an accomplishment in itself, building consistency in that way. And then you get that matchup. But I felt like, you know, this was kind of my time to get it done. And, you know, you do that. And then the growth win to beat Andre, backing up such a huge day and a huge moment. Because obviously ESPN, it's everywhere. You're getting messages from every cool, whether athlete or, you know, movie star. And everyone's tuning in. Everyone's watching. You know, it's in New York. There's no other sports going on.
Yeah.
That's why I love the U.S. Open, because there's no other real sports, you know, crossover during. So everyone's just watching tennis.
Yeah.
We aren't tennis fans.
Yeah.
And I turned a lot of, you know, non-tennis fans to tennis fans, and that was cool. And just, I mean, the experience was just wild. And I played one of the best matches ever, I feel like, against Alcaraz and tennis.
Yeah.
I mean, we both left it all out there. You know, I down match points. I gave everything I had. And, you know, it was tough. I mean, it was tough because I thought I was really going to get it done.
Yeah.
But I think it was the best thing for me not to win it, honestly.
Not to win at Alcaraz.
I think it's the best thing for me. Because, you know, seeing how everyone responded and all the things I did after, all, like, the, you know, things I got invited to. But and everyone just, you know, paraded me. But it built that little extra hunger, right? Because I didn't do it. I didn't finish the job. So now, 2023, that's the goal.
Yeah.
To get across the line.
Right? Yeah.
Rather than you doing it and you know, you're that satisfied, that, you know, the belly full kind of thing.
Yeah.
Belly's not even nearly full. So I still want to do
it. That's awesome.
Yeah. It took a while to get that perspective. And I think it was good, like, you know, going and playing Labor Cup, doing that, and playing Tokyo, getting a good run. And then also having a good run here. So
I want to talk about the Labor Cup a little bit, because you clinched it against Tsitsipas for the World Group. How amazing was that moment? And, of course, Federer retiring at the same time. What was that experience?
Emotional weekend. I think, to put in words, it's tough. Just emotional weekend. Like, you know, I think the match, us winning, is so irrelevant, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just to get the call and to play the event always is special, and then not only to to get the call, but you know, for Mac to be like, okay, we obviously knew Jack was going to play, but for me to also be a part of that, you know, right after the coin toss, I gave him both hugs. I was like, let's have a great match, you know. And to play against them either or, even if one of them weren't retiring, but to play against them together is iconic, and as Fed's last match, so that's even more iconic. And the crowd is going wild. And
did you cry?
Yeah, I mean, one, because the kids came down and everybody, the wifey came down. Everyone's crying. Novak, Rafa, I was like, God damn, Murray. And you got to think, these are guys that played against him. They both want the same things, and that, biggest rivals ever. And they're crying on his behalf. I was like, man, this is crazy. I mean, the impact that he had on the game is wild. He's going to live forever. We're always going to remember Roger Federer. There will never be another Roger Federer.
Yeah.
No one's going to play the game like he did. No one's going to carry him up their self like he did. He never sweated. He never had a wrinkle on his shirt. He never looked stressed. Like, he's different. So I'm happy I got to play against him. I'm happy I got to call him a friend. I'm happy I got to, you know, pick his brain and stuff like that. So that was an unbelievable weekend. And then to clinch was just insane. And I'm happy because Johnny Mac needed that. He's taking a lot of L's in the Laver Cup, and I think it was a perfect storm. I mean, I was coming off such a high, and Steph is obviously an unbelievable player. He brings the best out of me, so I was happy to get that win.
And that was incredible.
Down max points, and we just battled. We both battled, and it was wild.
And I think just that dynamic too of being able to help each other as a team. That's not something you get in tennis very often, obviously. Was that something that you feel like carries over into when you go to individual events now?
For sure. I think it was great, and I think it created a great bond between the guys. You see guys in a totally different light. So I'm really happy that we got to do that and win. And
advice in particular that you got from the guys that really stood out?
You'd be shocked how well guys actually know your game.
Okay.
I think that was the biggest thing. Like, you know, guys are just saying, you have some of the best backhand cross in the world, save in the backhand cross, against Steph and stuff like that. Hit your forehand out of line and come in, that's one of your favorite plays. And I was like, what? So they just know these tendencies and know these things. Obviously, I mean, we're all professionals here, so, but it's just pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I think it's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah.
Last thing, I just wanted to talk a little bit about how you got so many messages after the U.S. Open. Obviously, first getting into the top 20 for the first time, your life can change a little bit. Has it changed for you that much, and how have you been able to adapt?
Yeah, it's came for me a lot, because I think – I think the best thing, honestly, in sport is diversity in sports. And I think during that time, there's a lot of people that just wouldn't really watch tennis that became tennis fans. But it was cool because they became friends to Seattle fans, which I played tennis, which that make them be like tennis. So I was hanging out with people I never thought I'd be hanging out with, going to events and sitting next to people I never thought I'd be sitting next to, and them actually excited to meet me. And that was weird. Going home, and you know, they gave me I'm from PG County, Maryland, and they did a day for me, and you know, University of Maryland did something for me, and you know, it was just I felt like a lot was coming at once.
Yeah.
And but it was cool, man. But at the end of the day, just you know, my parents and everyone around me is just keep the main thing, because none of these things are gonna keep happening unless you keep winning tennis matches. So.
Yeah.
Just keeping that perspective, but it's cool to see just a small snippet of what could happen if you really do the job.
Yeah. Well, I think that has a lot to do with your personality, too.
You're
so much fun to watch.
Yeah, that helps.
Definitely helps. You're always such a very entertaining. So we wish you all the best of luck. A phenomenal year. Again, congratulations.
That means a lot, best of luck. Thank you. Thanks.
Jill Krabus with Francis Tiafoe. Finally this week, as the Davis Cup Finals come to an end in Spain, Chris Bowers has been speaking with one of the country's die-hard stalwarts, who also managed to claim his first Masters 1000 title earlier this year, much deserved, in Montreal, Pablo Carreño Busta.
Well, it was a very important moment of my career, no? Probably, or for sure, the best title of my career. you can imagine how hard I work during a lot of years to win a title like this. It was very, very emotional. I was during all the week with my team, but also with my father that was there in Montreal. So imagine, you know, the feeling when I won the last point. But, you know, I'm very happy for the victory, but also for the game, no? for my level, because I think that I play a really good level from the beginning of the tournament, on the first match against Berrettini, during all the week, but on the first match, you know, I feel something special. I feel very, very comfortable on court with the crowd, so it was an amazing week.
Do you know where that something special came from?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. It's true that during the year I didn't felt my best feeling on court, losing some matches that probably I have to win it. But I take rest for 2 weeks before the Montreal, and after that I was a new player, and it's true that from the beginning I felt very comfortable and I enjoy a lot on court. Outside the court I enjoy Montreal also, so you know, I was with my team, with my family, with my father, so I enjoy it a lot, and I think it's very, very positive to enjoy when you are playing a tournament.
And when you look at the people you beat, you mentioned Berrettini, Rune, Sinner, Draper, Evans and Hurkacz in the final. I mean, that's an impressive list.
Yeah, it is so tough to win a Masters 1000. You have to play against the best player in the world for the first round, probably in Grand Slams, the first or the second round, if you are lucky in the draw. You play against the players outside the top 100, but in Masters 1000, you have to play against top 40 players all the time, and you know, it's very, very tough to beat him, but to beat them. But you know, Berrettini in the first round, it was very important to me, to my confidence, to get the rhythm. And after that, against Rune, I play an incredible match. Against Sinner also, without give them a break point. So after that, you know, in quarterfinals, Draper, probably one of the best players this year, improving a lot, being very, very tough from the baseline. And, you know, in the final, well, in the semifinals, three tough sets, and in the final also. So it was an incredible week.
We thought for many years of Spanish players as clay court players, and then your generation, in particular you and Roberto Bautista Agut, you played more on hard courts as children, and you've developed the skills on clay. So where are you now in terms of what you prefer as a surface and where your best tennis comes?
Yeah, it's true. At the beginning of the history, the Spanish players was a clay court players. But I think in the last years, well, in the last 20 years, with Rafa, of course, beating a lot of tournaments in hard courts, also in grass, with Almagro, a lot of players that play really good on Feliciano López. But, you know, Bautista, me, probably we growing up on playing on hard courts. So we felt really comfortable there. And we have now Alcaraz, Davidovich, that's also won the Wimbledon Junior. So I think we can play in every surface now, no? It's the new tennis, you know? You have to play in every court, every week, changing surfaces, so doesn't matter. We are just trying to be focused all the time and to be fighting all the points.
So do young Spanish players, do the children learning to play tennis in Spain, do they play on all the different surfaces?
I think so. It's true that a few years ago, probably we play on the Mediterranean coast, just on clay courts. But now, I think in whole of Spain, we play in every surfaces, no? Clay court for sure, but also hard courts. It's true that grass, probably, we have to improve a little bit, but in the rest of the surfaces, we are very, very comfortable also.
I mean, do you enjoy playing on grass? Or do you think of it as a little bit like an entertainment?
I'm not really comfortable playing on grass because I never practice it there. So it's tough to play for me. It's true that it's not the first, the same surfaces, the same grass if you play on Spain or if you play in London, because the weather is so different. So I don't know, I didn't feel very comfortable playing on grass, but it's true that I have time to be better player on the surface.
You've played with Rafael Nadal as the leading Spaniard for most of your career. Yeah. What has that meant? How has it been? Has it been a good thing because you've all got somebody to aim for, or has it been a bad thing because, you know, in a previous era you would have had much more credit for what you've achieved?
Well, it's true that probably if Rafa doesn't exist, we have more credit, but we prefer to have a Rafa with us. No, it's very important for Spanish tennis have a reference like him, not just on court, also outside the court. I think Rafa is probably the best Spanish sportive, probably one of the best in the world. So we enjoyed a lot with Rafa. We learned a lot of with his career. I have lucky to be very close to him in a lot of moments of my career when I was growing up, playing doubles with him, being partners in the Davis Cup. So I enjoy a lot with him, and you know, I continue enjoying with him.
What's one thing you've really learnt from him?
Well, me and I think all the partners on Davis Cup, we learn a lot of things of him, but probably the consistency to fight until the end in every moment is very important. No, we know that probably you cannot be at 100% all the time, every day, because it's really, really tough to be, but Rafa continues all the time there, try to be his best in all the moments. So I think was probably the best thing of him.
Finally, you're 31 now,
still young,
still learning. How good can you be?
I don't know. It's true that I'm 31. I'm not the next gen, but you know, I feel 100% physically and of course mentally. It's true that I know that, for example, Carlos is 19 and has a lot of time to continue improving. But I would like to improve a lot of things, so I need to be a lot of more years on the tour. No, I think that it's very important to continue improving all the time, because if not, you are out of the top 100 for sure. The people are growing up very fast. We have every year new players that are pushing a lot of pressure on us. So I just continue improving and enjoying. That's important.
You were semi-finalist at the US Open. Do you have one Grand Slam title in you?
Well, I would like to have it, but it's true that I played two semifinals. The last one I won two sets, and finally at the end I lost. But I will continue trying. No, I know that it's very difficult, but also was very difficult to win a Master 1000. At the end I won it. So I don't know. You never know. You have to be ready at 100% in every practice, in every match, and we'll see.
Our thanks, as ever, to Señor Pablo Carreño Busta and to all of our guests this week. For all the latest Davis Cup final results and news, head to the competition's website. And for the rest of the news, including the groups for the first ever United Cup early in 2023, check out the ATP WTA Live app or atptour.com. I'm Seb Lozier. Come back next week when we have more exclusive chats with the world's very best. Thanks for listening.